You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One, as we are officially in UFC 259 Fight Week. But before we officially turn the page to the UFC's first of two pay-per-view offerings for the month of March, let us answer the what's next questions for the notable names coming out of UFC Vegas 20 this past Saturday night. And joining me, as always, on this adventure, the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the best friend, and the Prince of Positivity himself, Mr. Alexander K. Lee. How's Canada, buddy? How are you?
My best friend. Canada is great. It's cold. Not as cold as it could be. But I mean, it's Canada. What else do you expect? So it's normal up here, in other words. But no, it's great. I don't know how I feel after last night's 9-fight, 1-draw card. Especially from a matchmaking perspective. I guess we'll, you know, we'll work it out over the next hour or so and figure out how to deal. But that was a strange one. That was a strange one last night.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say. I still have fun making these matchups. Some of them were a lot of fun. Some were easy. Some were hard. But later on in the program, we will get to your submissions, the listeners via Twitter, email, and yes, AK, even Instagram DMs. Even in my Instagram DMs, I'm trying, folks. I made a promise. I'm doing the best I can, all right? But you're going to hear those submissions later on in the show. But we will kick things off with the main event of the evening in the UFC's heavyweight division. Jairzinho Rozenstruik took on the surging Ciryl Gane. And in the end, the surging prospect continues to, well, surge, AK. Earns a unanimous decision win. Won all 5 rounds rather easily. It wasn't one of those performances that, you know, we're going to remember for years to come, but I guarantee you Ciryl Gane could give a rat's patoot what anybody else thinks. He got 2 paychecks. He's 8-0, and he's, pun intended, on to the next one. So, AK, what do we do? Because it seems like there's 2 options for him, right? One is Derek Lewis. That's what pretty much everybody expected the prize to be in this fight. The other is Alexander Volkov, who just got a big win in his own right not long ago in a main event spot. And let's be honest, he did it in a much more impactful way than Ciryl Gane did. So where does Ciryl Gane go from Saturday night? Is it one of those two options, or are you thinking crazy here?
No, it's Alexander Volkov. I'm only thinking one option. I don't even love the Derek I don't hate the Derek Lewis option. I know we said on last week's podcast episode that, like, how much this fight would affect, you know, matchmaking outside of the Miocic and Ganu Jones triangle that needs to sort itself out. But no, I remember when Volkov won, I had pegged this matchup as the one that would decide his next opponent. I'm sticking with it. I saw nothing that happened last night and that's happened in the heavyweight division since to make me think otherwise. I love the matchup. I still think Volkov has the potential to be a world title contender. I'm sure Gane would be favored, but I would not be shocked at all if Volkov beat him. And obviously I'm very high on the Gane train. I think he's not only a contender, I think he could actually be the champion someday. So that's a fight I'd love to see now. It certainly, again, if Gane becomes champion, it could happen down the road. But no, now's the time. There's other people that are tied up. And I'm still on the Lewis versus Overeem train. That's the thing. I think we've mentioned on multiple episodes. want to see Derek Lewis and Alistair Overeem. So I'm not breaking that one up. So Alexander Volkov, really the only option for me.
The sport is so interesting and the show is so interesting because things can change on a weekly basis. Like something happens and you're like, maybe last week I said this, but maybe it's this. But if we're saying it's a choice between Lewis and Volkov, I truly think Lewis was the prize. Like, I think the plan was the winner of this fight is going to fight Derek Lewis. But I think most people expected the fight to go a certain way in terms of entertainment value. And listen, I am not here pooping on Ciryl Gane. I would never do that. I thought he fought a very smart fight. He did what he needed to do to win. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. But if we're comparing the two, where are we going? It's the latter for me. It's Alexander Volkov. I think we have Stipe. We got Ngannou. We got John Jones, and then Derek Lewis is right there behind Jones. And then there's everybody else after that, in my opinion. I think Derek's place as the sort of the on-deck contender behind John Jones, it remains, and it is his alone right now. Gane versus Volkov is the fight to make. The winner gets on that level with Derek Lewis, where he's at right now. I think Gane got a dominant win. He won every round. He won pretty much every second of every round, but it just wasn't the sort of star-making performance that most people and probably Dana White in the UFC were hoping for from him. So it just wasn't. But again, he's still a little green. He's only 8-0. And while he doesn't gain the immediate spoils from the moment, we talked about this with Sarah Kaufman on the post-fight show, he got a lot of experience in that octagon. He went the full 25. And I think that experience will pay off in the long run, in my opinion, more than if he went in there and knocked Jairzinho in the first 2 minutes of the fight. So yeah, Gane versus Volkov, pretty damn good consolation prize, AK.
Yeah, and people, please check out Tanner Bozer's take on the situation. Our own Canadian heavyweight Tanner Bozer, who tweeted very shortly after, I won't read it verbatim, but it's something to the effect of like, just saying, why are people criticizing Gane? It's crazy. He's winning the fight. Why would he take a risk? And then you can also check his replies. He has some very amusing replies to incredulous fans who don't seem to understand his point. One of them was like, oh, you need to find another job. You're just in it for the money. And I think Bozer replied like, yes, how silly of me. How silly of me to have a job and want to get paid for it and compensated for it. Yes, I'm a fool. So, yeah, Tanner Bowser with a great take on it. And again, I don't think the uproar is that bad. I think most people are kind of disappointed just in the fight as it was. Maybe there's even more criticism of Rozenstruik than there is of Gane. Again, it's hard to gauge with social media. And that's more than fair. But, yeah, Gane did what he had to do. And as you said, very valuable learning experience for a guy in his eighth pro fight. Guys, eighth pro fight is not a lot. I know heavyweights move up the rankings fast. That's really not a lot. So, Mike, I would ask, if it was possible, and I know we said Curtis Blaydes should take some time off after that knockout, at least 6 months. We don't want to see him rush back into the cage at all. There's really no reason to. And for some reason, he's suspended until, I think, mandatory until April. If for some reason he came back, let's say, and wanted to fight in May or June in the summer, and that was offered to Gane. If you're Gane, is that one you're chomping at the bit for? Because he is higher ranked than Volkov, and obviously not Lewis, but he is higher ranked than Volkov. What do you think? Do you think Gane would be like, yeah, I'm going to jump at that? It would be the biggest stylistic challenge for him yet, I think.
I think he would take it just because he's 8-0, and it depends on the spot and the money. But
you wouldn't campaign for it if you were him and his team. You wouldn't be like poking at the UFC like, hey, what's going on with Curtis Blaydes? Can we?
Probably not. I mean, you could probably find ways to make it look good. Like maybe they see the knockout as a way to like get the low-hanging fruit, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I still think that's a really tough matchup for him, especially if Blaydes gets going with the takedowns early. Gane's very good on the ground. He's well-rounded, but I mean, Curtis Blaydes has put many of well-rounded heavyweights on their backs and kept them there for the entirety of the fight. So I would say if we're looking between Lewis, Volkov, and Blaydes, Blaydes is clearly option C.
Yeah, agreed.
I know we're not going to like go into this like full on, but I know the readers and the listeners suggested this, but I do want to talk about Jairzinho Rozenstruik because obviously it was a tough night for him. He just couldn't get anything going. And in my eyes, AK, he's going to have to take a bit of a hit from this one, unfortunately. I mean, I saw Curtis Blaydes' name, the aforementioned Curtis Blaydes, that mm-hmm. name being thrown around as an option for Jairzinho. And I don't love that idea. I think Blaydes is a massive favorite in that fight. I just don't like it for Jairzinho. I'm not going anywhere near that if I'm him. So there's two options for me. One, you do the rematch with Overeem. And Jairzinho's not in a position to say no at this point. And he'd still have the confidence to go back in there and fight him because he beat him before. And Overeem would obviously like it because he can try to get that one back. And if that wants to be like his final fight, I want to try to avenge this crazy loss that I had in my, you know, the recent past in my UFC career. Sure, I think people would be okay with that. The other option, and this kind of changes things up from last week's show, I think there's an argument to be made for Tom Aspinall getting that opportunity to fight a top 10 guy. Throw him in there. Let's see what happens. There's upside all over that guy, and I think there's some upside still with Jairzinho. So, and I know we're kind of like, oh, how could you do Aspinall versus Chris Daukaus, two up-and-coming heavyweights that are trying to get to the belt? But I think this is a different scenario. I kind of want to see it. I think Aspinall deserves an opportunity like that, and Jairzinho kind of laid an egg on Saturday. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but he kind of laid an egg. He just couldn't get anything going. I think you throw him in there with Aspinall, who's going to make damn sure he's not going to have a performance like that. He's going to be in his face and attacking at all time. But those are kind of my two options for Jairzinho taking a look at it, AK. What are your thoughts on that?
That'd be a huge step up for Aspinall. I have Aspinall still outside my top 15, and I have Rozenstruik at 6th. Which includes, my rankings include the champions. So if you want to go to the UFC style and take out the champion, I have Jairzinho 5th. But I don't mind it. It's if I'm Rozenstruik's team, I'm very careful about how I handle his next one. Again, we sort of said with Gon, like, I don't think most of these guys usually don't say no, or at least they know they're not in a position to say no. So, you know, if Aspinall came his way, he'd say yes. Obviously, if Overeem came his way, he'd say yes. But if I'm his team, I'm definitely doing some selective campaigning. I don't know. I don't know what's next. It's very wide open, like you said. There's if he could fight over him and beat him again, that'd be nice. It certainly wouldn't hurt him. If he could knock off a prospect in Aspinall, that'd be really good for him. But it just seems like everyone in that range that we're talking about is really dangerous. And Rozenstruik has a lot of proving to do. That's 2 of 3 now, 2 losses in 2 of his last 3. Fair or not, that's how the strikers are gonna do this. And one of them was a 20-second knockout. One of them was a lackluster decision loss. So, yeah, his standing as far as being a future contender, monster hit. And again, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can have a long career in the UFC and not be a contender. But it is a big contrast from where he was, say, 18 months ago, where we all assumed, like, oh, yeah, he's one win away, one big win away from maybe a title shot. Now it's like 2, 3, who knows, depending who he fights, who he beats. I think if I'm his team, I'm real careful with the discussions I have with matchmakers.
Co-main event, Magomed Ankalaev gets a unanimous decision win over Nikita Krylov. Most expected this fight to end with violence. Is one of those fights where, like, you tweet it out into the world and the MMA gods just kind of laughed at you. But at the same time, very strategic, very smart game plan from Ankalaev, especially in the final 10 minutes, showing that I'm not just the kind of guy that goes in there and slugs it out for as long as the fight lasts. I can go in there and peel off those layers, and that's what he did on Saturday. And he's about to be a top 10 guy, AK. What do you see next for Mr. Ankalaev?
This is another lock for me. There is another good option, but for me, the lock, it's got to be the Anthony Smith, Jimmy Crute winner. They fight on April 24th. It's got to be. I think that for one is matchup to show, and how much does Anthony Smith have left as far as being a top 10 guy, and is Jimmy Crute a top 10 guy? I certainly think he is, but that's why they make that fight. That's a perfect piece of matchmaking there by the UFC team. And Ankalaev, again, I feel as a top 10. Do I have him top 10 now? Ankalaev, I have him the top 10. He took Krylov's spot, obviously, and I think he's a top 5 talent. And I'd love to see him get a chance to prove that against whoever comes out of that Smith Crude fight. So for me, that to me is the easy pick. I want to hear what you say first. I have one alternative, but I do want to hear what you have to say first.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this in the post-fight show. I actually think Ankalaev's in a tremendous spot right now because he's going to be the number 8 guy come Tuesday. And there's a lot of everybody in the top 6 is booked right now, every single fighter. And some are in pretty important fights and in big spots. He's right there. He's right there to slide right in there if something falls out. If everything just kind of plays out the way it's supposed to right now, I like the Volkan Ozdemir fight. He's number 7. He's the highest ranked guy ahead of him that isn't booked right now. It seems like the right place to go. And again, he could always just stay ready in case someone falls out. But, you know, I'm okay with him fighting a former title challenger in Volkan Ozdemir. It seems like a good next step, and kind of see how the rest of the division plays out.
Yeah, I like the matchup. I hate that Hate's a strong word. I don't hate anything. You know, on the Prince of Positivity, yeah. I don't hate anything. I find it unfortunate. There you go. I find it unfortunate that Usner has kind of become a high, very, very high level gatekeeper, a gatekeeper to the top five. So it's weird. It's, you know, we say gatekeeper, we usually mean like to the top 20, top 15. He's kind of a gatekeeper to the top five. It just feels, because I feel like on a lot of these shows, not just yourself, but a lot of the readers, I see Uzdemir's name almost always come up when another kind of younger light heavyweight's coming up towards the top 10. And like Uzdemir's like the first name. Oh, there's a perfect guy to test him. And I'm like, he's not that far removed from fighting for a title himself. But it is unfortunate that since then, he's lost a lot of fights that could have gotten him back into contention. He's certainly respected and well recognized as being dangerous. And he's definitely the right test for Ankalaev at this point in his career. But I just find it so strange that he's already, I think he's only like three years into his UFC career. I guess that's a lot these days. He's already kind of this top five gatekeeper, but there's worse things to be, I guess.
He's also, and listen, I'm not a fighter, so I'm not here to judge. He's also like the least active guy in the division. You know what I mean? Like Anthony Smith has probably fought like three or four times since Volkan Ozdemir fought Jiří Prochazka. You know what I mean? And Prochazka hasn't fought since then either, but he's also been booked to fight Dominic Reyes on multiple different dates. And from what he was telling me in our conversation on What the Heck, there were lots of fights offered that he said yes to. So I don't know. I mean, it's when you're not booking fights and getting them on the books, and like it was a vicious knockout to Prochazka. So I'm not like against him taking time, but I think that's kind of why Ozdemir is such a popular selection in these cases, because he's ranked in the top 10 and doesn't have anything booked, so he's right there.
Yep.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
One fight on the main card that is being delegated to wild card status is Montana De La Rosa versus Mayra Bueno Silva. Fight ends in a draw, and according to the unwritten rules of On to the Next One matchmaking, Section A, Narrative X, outside of a main event or a title fight going to a draw, it doesn't get the matchmaking treatment on the program unless, like we just alluded to, it is a wild card selection. So, no offense to the ladies. It was a fun scrap. I would have given them the bonus, honestly. If we're only giving out three bonuses, I would have just given a second fight of the night to those two ladies. We will go ahead and skip that one and move on to the aftermath of a very
I think Silva won that fight. That it is such a shame that it's just instinctively, you know, she's getting taken down and just grabs the fence. You know, you're getting taken down. It's, every time I see a fighter grab the fence, I think that it should always be a point. And two, I think it's like one of the hardest fouls to avoid. Look, maybe some of these people are deliberately cheating, but it's like when you're falling, this isn't even just fighters in life. When you're falling, you reach out to grab something. You reach out to grab something. That is your instinct, right? And I imagine even in a fight, that's probably even more of an instinct because, you know, when you get taken down, you're not just falling. You're getting taken down. Someone's about to beat the crap out of you. So I'm not making an excuse for her. I'm just saying it's funny when you think that if she had just not happened and she had just been taken down, that she might have been able to, you know, maybe just recover and still win the round. I think on the scorecards were a little screwy. Did some people give her the? I think one of the judges gave her the first round. Eric Cologne maybe gave her the first. Eric Cologne's card was a disaster, but anyway, I would have loved to have match made for Buena Silva. I do think she kind of won the fight. It was a really good scrap, but it was a draw. And as you said, the unofficial, it's like that classic Simpsons episode, Mike. You know, where Homer and Flanders, the father of the boy who doesn't win. You know, okay, I'm sorry, that's our rule up here. We're not saying anybody lost. We're not saying anybody lost. We're just saying you didn't win. That's, again, that kind of falls under our bylaws. I'm sorry. So on to the next. So, ladies, both of you, on to the next one. On to the next one. And I expect them both to have a good, because that was they fought really. That was a really fun fight last night.
I just got like flashbacks. The father of the boy who doesn't win. So good. Oh, that's so good. That is so good. All three judges actually scored the first two rounds the same. It was Eric Cologne who gave Buena Silva a 10-8 in the third round. Like, come on, dude. Like, I understand, like, maybe in your mind, you're like, Silva deserves to win, so I'm just going to give her a 10-8. Like, outside of that...
You can't do that.
You can't even do that.
But you can't do that.
Any other reason is egregious. Absolutely ridiculous to even put that on paper, but it is what it is. Silva, don't grab the fence, and you would have got a victory. But let's talk about Pedro Munhoz, who did get a victory over Jimmy Rivera, the rematch. He has avenged the loss. The calf kicks were absolutely brutal from bell to bell. Great bounce-back performance from Pedro Munhoz. Snaps a two-fight skid and gets on the mic and does what bantamweights like to do inside the top 10 AK. Calls for TJ Dillashaw. Does he get his wish, or do you see something else for the young Punisher?
I think it's funny, you know, this show, sometimes we do what we think will happen, what we want to happen. I think if we were going with what I want to happen, I'm still not sure I would go the Dillashaw. I think I've named Dillashaw for a bunch of people. I'm not saying it's a bad matchup of Munhoz. There's just some other fun matchups I'd like to see. So I leaned more towards a rematch with Rob Font. This was a difficult pick first because I remember I've definitely previously said I wanted Font to fight the Sanhagen Edgar winner. That seemed very logical to me until Sanhagen just obliterated Edgar, and I apparently completely forgot about the Font Sanhagen match that I wanted. And for good reason, I think Sanhagen has earned the number one contender spot, so I don't think he needs to face another tough opponent in Rob Font. So yeah, I don't mind the Munhoz rematch. They fought over three years ago now, and Munhoz took Font out pretty quickly. I think Font's a very different fighter since then. I'd love to see Font get a chance to run that one back. So yeah, back-to-back rematches for Pedro Munhoz in my book.
That was a popular choice. Poor Rob Font. I mean, the guy is a top three fighter, and now he's there. He finally gets like to be the hunted, or even the hunter in his position, and now everyone wants to see him drop back like 5 or 6 spots to fight Pedro Munhoz. It's like, what a wild sport we live in. But in terms of the Dillashaw call out, I'd like to see it. Like, it'd be fun, but unfortunately it's just not there for him yet. And it's hard to justify giving Munhoz that fight as much as we would like to see it from a stylistic perspective over a guy like Corey Sandhagen who wants it and Rob Font who wants it. It just doesn't work. And while you're ready to give Mr. Munhoz a big jump up in the rankings, I'm unfortunately going to have to come at it from a different angle because I think he's going to have to fight backwards and I think he's going to have to fight a rising contender. And then if he gets a victory, then maybe you can give him one of those big fights. Sorry, Pedro. I'm very sorry to say this out loud into a live microphone.
Mike, no.
The fight is Merab Dwalishvili.
No. Oh, no.
It's the fight. I'm sorry. And if Munhoz beats Merab and stops that train, call for Dillashaw, call for Font. It's yours, buddy. It's yours. But unfortunately, you've lost your last two fights. It is on paper. They're losses. They're losses. The Sterling fight was a fun fight, but Sterling clearly won. I understand the Edgar fight was a little bit controversial. A lot of people scored that for Pedro Munhoz, and I get that. But if you go out and beat Merab, like, you get... This isn't just, like, fighting back a couple of spots. Like, you get immediate respect. You get that momentum. It's a statement if you beat a guy like Barab. Unfortunately, I think he's just in a tough spot in a crazy division, AK. I'm sorry, Pedro. I'm sorry. But I think this is what we're gonna have to do.
Someone has to fight Marab at some point. Nobody wants to fight this guy. He's been at such an absolute just beast in his five fight win streak. It's the way he's beating people. He's really ragdolling guys, and like I just don't know anyone who would want to even call. I don't think anyone's called him out. Am I wrong? Has anyone called him out?
Pedro?
No, called Marab. Has anyone called Marab Dvalishvili really out?
Other than Cody Stamen.
He'll call anybody. So. Why would anybody call Marab Dvalishvili out? Yeah, but look, you're right. Someone's gonna have to fight him at some point. I like all these guys in the top 15 of bantamweight. I can't protect them all. Maybe it's Pedro. Pedro's got to be the guy to test him.
Main card opener. We saw Alex Caceres pick up his fourth straight win. Fun scrap against Kevin Kroom. Caceres gets it done. Showed the octagon experience, and another victory on the resume. He wants a top 15 guy, AK. I am here to say, I'm in, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to be another prospect. Alex Caceres versus Movsar Evloev, the number 15th ranked Movsar Evloev. Give him another vet test against a guy on a nice winning streak like Alex Caceres. Winner of that, on to bigger and brighter. But if you want a top 15 guy, that's the fight. That's the fight to do. What say you?
I like it. Evloev is not in the top 15 of my rankings, and neither is he's actually pretty close to where Caceres, where I bumped him up to. So, and that's no disrespect to Evloev. Again, Evloev is another one of those blue chip guys. So I'm just like, nobody in the top 20 should want to fight. But yes, I actually did not realize he was top 15 in the official rankings. No, I went more a veteran status, and apparently because I looked back at my notes and I've wanted this one for a while. Caceres for his 25th UFC appearance. I want to see him fight Cub Swanson. Cub Swanson I still have ranked pretty highly. People might say I'm crazy, but I mean, it's not level of competition. He's on a little win streak. I don't think it's wrong at all to keep him ranked in the top 20, or in my case, in the top 15. So that to me is the top 15 opponent that I think Caceres should have. I think. Previously, I also thought, you know, Swanson would be great for Emmett. Emmett, I think we still don't know. I mean, I expect him to be back anytime now from that knee injury. But who knows? Who knows, right? I haven't heard him make any overtures about calling people out, or even like any like, you know, sick Instagram selfie where he's like, oh, I'm ready to get back in action at Dana White, at Sean Shelby. I mean, he hasn't even done that yet. So I think he's kind of enjoying his time off, his break, recovering from his injury. So I'm removing Emmett from the equation for now. And I like Swanson and Caceres. And I think Alex Caceres would love that fight. Assuming he knows who Cub Swanson is.
He probably knows who Cub is.
I hope so.
I would assume so. Yeah, I like that fight too. Give him a top 15 or a guy with a name. I'm cool with that. Thank you, young man, my child, who's decided now is the time to take his bucket of toys and dump them all over the floor. So thank you, Grayson. Thank you. In the middle of the fastest rising podcast on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. Yeah, he's smiling. Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
Cut in post.
No, we keep it. In the featured, it's real life, you know, real life unfolding before our eyes. Let's talk about the featured preliminary fight. Thiago Moises gets a big win over Alexander Hernandez. He sweeps the scorecards for two of the judges. It was 29-28 on the other. Hernandez was not happy about the scoring. Mark Montoya was not happy about the scoring. Even went up to Bruce Buffer and the judges and was like, did he read the wrong name? Like, did he read that wrong? But listen, I watched the fight again this morning. It was the right call. Moises just has such good defense on the feet. Like, well, it looks like Hernandez is landing shots. He's not landing them. He's not hitting Hernandez in the face. He's hitting him in the arms. Like, if this is like Big Brother stuff, sucks to be Thiago Moises right now. He's got bruises all over his arms. But in terms of getting punched in the face, didn't happen very often. Moises landed the more impactful shots. Moises is coming into his own, man. He looked really good, AK. What is next for the 25-year-old Brazilian? Just everything clicking right now.
Yeah, all the respect to Alexander Hernandez. We said this is a big test for him. And I still think he did okay.
Absolutely.
Not beating Moises is not the worst thing. Moises is clearly also is a blue chip prospect. I don't people know he's younger. He's 3 years younger than Hernandez. So it's like he's an up and comer in his own right. So it was a really strong performance for Hernandez, but one that I think Moises comfortably won. So for Moises, I think I'm being a little wishy-washy with my picks this week. A little bit like a lot of wait and see, and that's okay. I think sometimes that's the right move to make. So he won't have to wait long. I think next week's Islam Makhachev Drew Dober fight, I think whoever wins that fight, I think you give Moises. I know some people want to see Moises take a more veteran name, maybe already get someone in the top 10, and that's great. But the lightweight top 10 can be a little tricky as far as politically speaking, some of the names that are up there waiting for fights or angling for fights. So with that said, then I'd say let's just keep things simple. Let's match him up with someone from next week who's still climbing up in their own right. So very high on Moises. I don't think there's any need to push him up the rankings too quickly. And I think either him, Makhachev, Dober, those guys are all destined for great things at 155. And I think we get a natural matchup after next Saturday.
This might have been the easiest pick on the card for me outside of the main event. Because we were asked on the pre-fight show if the winner of this fight should get a top 15 opponent next. And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely, Thiago Moises deserves a top 15 opponent. And the fight I want to see, I want to do Brazilian versus Brazilian, a.k.a. ATT versus Fortis MMA. Thiago Moises versus one Carlos Diego Fajeda. And had Hernandez won that fight, I would have done Hernandez versus CDF. So this fight, to me, the winner gets the CDF fight. I think CDF's 12 or 13 right now. That's the fight to make, AK. That's a scrap. I want to see it.
Yeah, definitely no one would complain about that matchup. So, yeah, I think that's a name that I've seen a lot of people throwing out there. Other options I thought, Mike, and only because he mentioned this guy himself, he mentioned Brad Riddell in an interview with our own Guy Cruz. So the winner of Brad Riddell, Gregor Gillespie, that's on March 20th, would be fun. And then I also kind of thought maybe just because I haven't heard from this guy in a while, I don't want to see him fight again soon. Maybe Arman Tsarukyan, but he probably has passed Tsarukyan in the prospect rankings right now, and you're right, that and maybe would be a step back. So Fajeda would make more sense than Tsarukyan at this point, I think.
Yeah. So that's that. We're gonna head to the wild card round, where we'll each choose a fighter who either won on the prelims, lost on the main card, lost on the prelims, someone we have not match made for yet, and we'll go ahead and do it right now. So Mr. Lee, your wild card selection coming out of UFC Vegas 20.
Well, I hope you picked either De La Rosa or Bueno Silva, because I didn't. And this is like a double snubbing, Mike, if neither of us did. I did go with one of the women's fighters on the card. I had to go with Canada's own, the pride of Port Colborne, the Sarah Kaufman nemesis, Alexis Davis. I was so... again, for once, I looked smart. I think we on the preview show, I had said I was picking Davis to be Mazo, and for all the reasons that we saw on Saturday, she's a veteran. She has a way of mucking things up. I mean, I think in like a traditional sparring session, I bet Mazo, like a competitive sparring, I think Mazo would get the better of Alexis Davis like 9 times out of 10. But once you get in that cage and you have that experience Alexis Davis has, man, you saw it all there. She got punched in the face. She has a face that one punch turns it red as a tomato. She ate like, I don't know how many jabs from Mazo. She got hit in the face a lot. And she knew, I'm going to have to do this to close the distance with this rookie. Mazo is ridiculously talented. And again, she's only 23. She has many, many good years ahead of her. But Davis has all the experience, and that was great for him. So I can't wait to see her. But I don't know if this return to 135, which I assume she's sticking around there. She said she's very happy not cutting the weight. I don't know if this return to 135... how serious of a contender she can be again, but she certainly is closer than she would be at 125. So I want to see her face another veteran who's on a win streak that I'm still having a little bit of trouble gauging the quality of. So I like Alexis Davis versus Pani Khianzad. I think it's so Davis just broke a losing streak. Khianzad on a 3-fight win streak. We mentioned her on a previous show. I think the readers have matched her up with people. I think they wanted her for Kunitskaya, which I like. But after seeing Davis, I think Davis Khianzad's the way to go.
For those who have been following along on this On to the Next One journey over the last, this is the 33rd episode of the program, you know where I'm going with this. You absolutely know where I'm going with this. I'm going with Ronnie Lawrence because he's a bantamweight, and we always do this on cards like this when there's a wild card selection. Ronnie Lawrence gets the only finish on the card. He deserves a little bit of shine here. I boasted about him on the preview and post-fight shows. Goes in there and dominates Vince Cachero, gets the finish in the third round. I think he's the real deal, and I want to see what this guy's got. I'm ready to throw him a pretty good step up, not a gigantic one. We're not going to get crazy. We're not throwing him in there with Marab. Bantamweight's just so good right now, so... We mentioned Fortis MMA. I want to see what Ronnie Lawrence does against another guy on the come up with excellent wrestling, a guy with knockout power in his hands. Give me Ronnie Lawrence versus Miles Johns, AK. Let's see what this kid's got. That is my pick.
I love it. That's a great pick. I love it because, let me tell you something, Lawrence's name came up a lot in the reader picks, and the matchups were all over the place. I don't know if... maybe people are more familiar with Ronnie Lawrence than I was, or they were just so blown away, but they were just up. And I don't know how many bantamweights are there, but like 60 bantamweights, something like that, like anywhere from the range of 1 to 60, people were just like throwing Ronnie Lawrence in there. But yes, Miles Johns, I think that's just right, Mike. I think I saw some good selections, which we will get to in a second. I like Miles Johns. I do think that's the right way to go. People, let's treat Ronnie Lawrence like what he is, a very, very talented prospect.
Yes.
No, that's not crazy.
Ronnie Lawrence is like what 15-year-old Dominic Cruz, TJ Dillashaw, and Merab Dvalishvili, like if you molded the three of them into one like super 15-year-old, that's what Ronnie Lawrence reminds me of.
Like I said, we're trying to temper expectations. Oh my goodness.
15. He's 15. Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of room to develop. The talent is there. The blueprint is laid out. The foundation has been laid. It's just how you build the rest of the house. And it's a good foundation. When you have a good foundation, the rest kind of takes care of itself. But I'm excited to see what this kid has. The footwork is so fun to watch. He's got that movement. And you didn't even get to see a lot of it on Saturday because all he did was keep taking poor Vince Cachero down. Vince Cachero was like scrambling and trying to get up and doing his best, and Ronnie Lawrence just wouldn't give him a second to breathe. So I'm excited to see what is next for that guy. What a performance. That he stole the show. I don't know if we have a check the tapes, but...
We do. We have a little bit. I didn't realize it was our 33rd episode. So shout-outs to Larry Bird.
That's right.
Obviously. Scottie Pippen.
Duval.
And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. What a number. 33. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Scottie Pippen, Larry Bird. Pretty good number.
That's right.
I don't know if anyone in the NBA is wearing it right now, but that's a lot of pressure. Shout-outs to legends. Yeah, we had some check the tapes. We had some. Our pal Marcus McGahee shouting at me. he's coming at me on Twitter and email right now. So all right, fine, Marcus. Marcus, he wanted to make sure he was credited for calling out Sean Strickland versus Christoph Giacco, which happens on May 1st. So well done, Marcus McGahee. I might have thrown that out there as a possibility for either of them, but I don't remember if I actually made that an official OTTNO pick. I had this as an alternate. Did you like, but I thought you had made a select this. Alex Perez is Matt Schnell. Was that one of you designated that. So there we go, Mike. So I checked the tapes for you. Alex Perez versus Matt Schnell, now booked for UFC 262 on May 15th. And then we had a trio of championship bouts, which, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to say we checked with that. We called this. I think us and a lot of fans wanted these fights. Figueiredo versus Moreno rematch is now set for UFC 263 on June 12th. That was set almost, in a rare case of Dana. You know, he never makes matches after. I'm pretty sure if I recall, like the press conference, he's like, yeah, we're probably just running that one back. So we all checked the tapes. Check mark for all of us on that one. Shevchenko versus Andrade now set for UFC 261 April 24th. This one wasn't as much. I think we both wanted it. I know it wasn't necessarily the automatic choice for a lot of people. I think people weren't sure if Andrade the one win was enough, but I think it's the most exciting title fight you can make at 125 right now. So that's official. And of course, one that we were all just waiting to become official. Also, UFC 261. April 24th, Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas. So, and we brought that up on our Dream Fights episode, our year end sort of when we had no fights at the end of 2021 in December, 2020, excuse me. I had that as one of my top five championship fights I hope was made in this year. So there it is. I think it might have made your list too, Mike. I can't remember. Yeah. So there we go. So some pretty accurate tape. Got some pretty accurate tape.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out.
Yep.
Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. FranShares is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Oh, thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAQ.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
Okay. And you, do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's see where the peeps are going in terms of their matchmaking.
Mike, do you want to go first? What do you want to do? Do you want me to rifle off? I got the Twitter, I got the email, and I got the Instagram. So I don't know how.
All right,
I'll go
first because my list is way shorter than yours.
Okay.
Let's see. Orn Sleepwalker at Orn83 on Twitter.
Is this new guy? New?
I think so.
Okay.
He said Ankalaev versus the winner of Serkinov versus Span. He said, I want to know why I like Orin Sleepwalker, because not only does he make the matches, but he gives explanations as to why.
We like that, guys. We like that. We will read your explanations on air.
Yes. Serkinov Span makes sense ranking wise. Almost everyone above Ankalaev is already booked. Okay. Nikita Krylov versus Ozdemir. Okay. It was already scheduled once. Might as well do it now. Gon versus Volkov, as was, quote, decided after Volkov's win over Overeem. Rosenstrike versus Blagoy Ivanov. After this lackluster performance, Rosenstrike deserves to get a severely drop down the ladder, but he's still too dangerous to get fed a hot prospect like Dacus or Aspinall. We disagree, but Ivanov fits well and comes off of two losses, so I'm cool with that.
Is Blagoy not booked? There's no fight for Blagoy.
He was supposed to fight Marcin Tybura, right?
I think so. Yeah, that's.
And then
happening.
The fight got to, and Ivanov got injured and is out of the fight now.
I'm not gonna lie, for reasons that are known only to me, I keep getting Blagoy, Ivanov, and Augusto Sakai confused. I do not know. There's no good reason for it. They fought. They fought. There we go. But that's about. But before they fought, I was getting them confused. So I don't know what's going on. Yeah, that bell was. Oh, he got injured.
Yep.
Ivanov got injured. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that bell was okay. Interesting. What else you got, Mike?
Harper on Instagram. We're going to the DMs now. Gon versus
Harper.
Hey, Harper. Gon versus Volkov. Rosenstrike versus Dacus, or Rosenstrike versus Sakai. Not sure if Rob would take this fight, but maybe Munoz versus Font 2 or Munoz versus Marais. Munoz versus Marais, I looked at, but then you realize that they're teammates. So, not saying that it wouldn't happen, but it would be a fun fight. and then I responded and said, these are good suggestions. We'll read them. And he goes, attaboy, Mike, finally checking your DMs. So thank you, Harper, for your suggestions and your kind words. Danilo Collins has checked in on Instagram DMs, said, longtime listener, first time contributor, got some suggestions for the show. Gon versus Volkov, Ankalaev versus Ozdemir, another Munoz versus Font 2. Thiago Moises versus Rafael Fiziev. Is actually a pretty popular one as well.
I saw that.
And then last one from a man, John George. Jimmy Rivera versus Ricky Simone. Big body 35ers, always fun. Pedro versus Aldo, or a Rob Font rematch would be a great matchup. Rosenstrike versus Chris Dacus, and a stand and bang three rounder. And then another Fiziev versus Moises suggestion well. So
I saw that too. Okay, interesting.
And then let me just see. The only other DMs I got was where people like trying to lay out like actual divisions. Like people wanted to reach out and say, like, this is how I'd book the 55 division, which doesn't really work, but we appreciate that. But thank you all. We turned it over to AK where there's much more.
Sure. Well, I'll run down some of the quickies. So off of our site, we sometimes tweet out what do people think. So here's some of the responses to our tweets on MMA Fighting. For Moises, there was a bunch. Mike, give me a quick yay or nay. I'm just going to run off a few names here. Based on, not necessarily if you think it'd be a cool fight, because I think these will all be cool fights, the likelihood of these happening like anytime this year. Okay. So this is from Moises. Felder?
I'd see it. No, I don't think it happens. But
Felder doesn't take it. Felder doesn't take that. Dariush.
Same reasoning.
You don't think that happens? Another guy Moises called out before the fight. Iaquinta. We don't even know. We still don't know what's going on with Iaquinta. When is he going to take his next fight?
Iaquinta, so like The only thing Iaquinta said on Twitter last night that I saw was him calling out Hernandez for how he reacted to everything.
So maybe that's the fight, right?
Maybe that's the one.
Dan Hooker. Somewhere down the road.
I get same as the other guys. I'd like to see it, but I don't think it happens.
After the man gets to see his family again first, that's what he's looking for. Jeez Louise. Tony Ferguson.
Same. I'd like to see it. I'm not...
You don't know these fights this year.
This year?
If ever.
I would say Ferguson probably won't ever happen.
Yeah.
Felder probably won't happen. Maybe Hooker.
Most likely.
Maybe Hooker. Maybe Dariush.
Later this year.
Dariush would have to lose his next fight.
But I think Fajeda is more likely than Dariush, right?
I think that's the one.
And then Munoz, man, people really want to see it. People like the Dillashaw option. And also Aldo. I think Aldo is another name that got thrown out there. So I could see that. I'll run off quickly. Now, here's a lot of the reader suggestions that were repeated. So here was the most. Ankalaev versus Uzdemir was by far the most popular. Multiple readers mentioned that one. And then we have Rosenstrick versus Dacus. Caceres versus Ryan Hall. We can't book fights for Ryan Hall anymore. We love Ryan Hall. I just don't know when this guy's going to be healthy and when the stars are going to align for him to get a matchup. So
God,
it makes sense.
I love that fight so much.
Yeah. But I'm as much as I love talking about Ryan Hall, I'm almost hesitant to like even fantasy matchmake for him anymore. This fight, I think it would be crazy. Multiple people mentioned this one as well. Kevin Kroom versus Nate Landwehr. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm all in on that one. This one, I don't know, that's why something was so popular. I guess it's a good thing people are talking about Maxim Grishin after that loss. Him and Martin Prakhniov, sure. I mentioned this. What did we say? Munoz. Oh, yeah, I said that already. Munoz Dvalishvili. It was out there. So
yeah,
people definitely want to see it. Rivera versus Chito Vera. Do they have some sort of beef? Were they booked to fight before?
At least twice. Sort
of beef? Yeah, and there's a lot of beef there, right? Yeah, I'm surprised that hadn't happened already. I keep thinking it had, but yeah, there's a lot of. I feel like there's a lot of animosity there.
That might be the fight. Like I think that's the fight to make now. There's enough heat. There's no like you can't say, well, I'm like too far ranked ahead of him to make this fight happen. Like Chito, you could argue like after the O'Malley win has like a bigger name than Jimmy Rivera right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think it makes sense.
Yeah. The man who has become the Khamzat Chimaev of the OTTNO bantamweight division, Umar Nurmagomedov. They want to see him fight Ronnie Lawrence. I'm like, what?
Okay, but that was
more than one person. That was more than one person suggested that. Okay, so I'm not just that's out there apparently. And Dustin Jacoby versus Roman Dolidze. I just want to put that out there because I don't think we mentioned Dustin the whole show really. So I like that. Yeah, Jacoby Dolidze, I love it.
I don't know. You can't. This is an audio podcast, but I'm lifting both hands and feet in the air for Jacoby versus Dolidze. I love that idea.
They can't. Maybe they can sense this over podcast. You're tingling.
Right
visibly tingling.
God, that's a good fight.
Instagram DMs. Josh Abukai. He liked Caceres versus Lauren Murphy. Yeah, I'm into that. Ankalaev versus Johnny Walker.
Walker's hurt. He was supposed to fight. Yeah. He was supposed to fight Jimmy Crute.
Right. Okay, so that's probably not going to happen. Another matchup I love, Dustin Jacoby versus Khalil Roundtree. I think that makes a lot of sense. And also, did we not mention this? Alexander Hernandez versus Bobby Green. Did neither of us mention this? Have we ever mentioned this for Green? I feel like it's come up on a show before.
I'm down for that fight. Right? That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense where they are. Also, two guys who that would be a fight that I think no matter what happened, you'd have one of the guys doing the I can't believe the incredulous decision loss because they're both so they go to the scorecards a lot and are always busy and competitive, but just have a tendency to lose decisions and look very disappointed about it. So I like that. So thank you, Josh Abukai. Jacob Best, a classic Jacob Best, bringing some great suggestions. He wants. He's down for Gaon versus Lewis, of course. Sure, that like we said, possibly the Lewis sweepstakes. Munoz versus Garbrandt too. Ugh. Why? For Munoz, why?
Why not?
What would be left? It wasn't that long. It was like last year. Oh, 2 years ago now. But
I think I think he gains more from that fight than fighting Font again.
Does he? Oh God.
Garbrandt's a bigger name. You know what I mean?
It's just him.
I know. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. But here we are. I doubt it happens, but I get it, I guess.
Oh, it's 2 years ago now. All right, Jacob Best, you're not completely out to lunch. Moises versus Kutatlatse. What is with the Kutatlatse hype? He's obviously good, but he's 1-0. Can't be throwing him in there with Moises, right? Moises on a 3-fight win streak at lightweight.
Kutatlatse has just had surgery as well. Okay. So he will not be able to take that fight anytime soon.
Jacob Best says Hernandez versus Moicano, which I would call the battle of the underachievers. Sorry, guys. And one of the more realistic suggestions, Ronnie Lawrence, versus Jose Quinones. So, yeah, I'm okay. That's kind of the range I'd like to see Lawrence in. There's a lot more Lawrence coming. Max Block just wanted to make a joke about last week we made a Ricky Henderson reference and how Ricky always talks about Ricky in the third person, which is great. And so he says all athletes should be like that. So he thinks Ricky Simone should fight Jimmy Rivera. And if I'm Ricky Simone, then let me tell you something. Ricky loves that matchup.
Yes, he does.
That's very confusing.
Yes.
This is why we don't
literally Ricky.
People shouldn't talk about themselves in the third person, okay?
But yes, Ricky again, likes that matchup a lot.
Yeah. If I'm Ricky, that's what I'm saying. Ricky like.
Yes. Like it. I'm in.
Excuse me. I got some quick hits from our email. So email guys, sorry, I'm going to run you off really quickly because you guys tend to repeat a lot of other, but our email guys always give great, great, long, well thought out picks. It's just that they, a lot of repeats that we've already mentioned. So I'll pick the best from each of these guys. Harry Dwoskin, he likes Hernandez versus Frivola. I'm into that.
Yep.
Tristan says he's open to Gon versus Blades, which we sort of mentioned before. Again, I think somewhere down the road, just maybe not next. Matt Bradbury wants Mazza to go back down to 125, and I love this matchup, and I feel like we've definitely mentioned this before. Him, Sabina Mazzo and Ariana Lipsky.
Oh, God, yeah. That is the fight. That's been the fight for a year since we started the show.
It's been discussed. And Marcus McGahee, trying to get on Future Check the Tapes, wants Caceres and Feely. I swear I thought they'd fought, but somehow they haven't. Somehow Caceres and Feely have not fought, right?
Yeah, it's tough to pair those guys together. I mean, I'd love to see it. It's kind of tough to pair those guys together because although one is kind of trending downwards and Caceres is trending upwards, it's like a very similar place in the divisional realm. You know what I mean? Like veteran guys that, you know, it's kind of like win-win situations when you have an up-and-coming guy fight one of these guys because, like, if they win, it's like, great. Now they're now this veteran who's had 25 fights with us has 5 wins in a row, and if he loses, like, he just beat a guy who had 25 fights in the UFC. So good spot to be in. I would love to see how that fight would play out. Caceres versus Feely, whew, that's a good one.
Caceres' next move is going to be fascinating because I think he's a guy he'd be happy if the UFC never – He did mention after his fight, he said, give me a top 15 ranked person, I guess. Oh, but almost very half-heartedly, like, I guess it's time for a top 15 guy. It's almost like this is what people do when they go into win streaks, right? They call for top 15 guys. Okay, I'll call for top 15 guy. I also think he'd just be happy if they kept him in that, like, mid-tier, like, 15 to 30 range. I don't think he'd complain. He just likes fighting. He likes getting paid for it. He likes learning from, you know, being the life of a martial artist. I want to know, is there that motivation in him to want to be a top 10 guy, which sometimes means getting your hands dirty on the mic, if that visual makes sense. So his next move is really fascinating because I do want to see him fight a top 10 guy someday. I just don't know. I honestly don't know if he cares.
You know what's interesting about Alex Caceres? He says that he's not familiar with Alexander Volkanovski, but he approaches the sport the exact same way Alexander Volkanovski did on the come up. Like, he's not going to sit there and call people out. He's not going to talk a bunch of junk. He's just going to win fights. And then if he gets to those positions in, like, merit based, he's a happy camper. He's not going to sit there and change who he is in order to get there. They're very similar guys, which is pretty fascinating.
He's a fascinating character. He has been since The Ultimate Fighter. You know, he was definitely one of the standout personalities from his season of The Ultimate Fighter. And, like, the results have obviously been a little mixed. They've just looking at the record. But, boy, he's going to, you know, he's climbing up that all-time UFC appearances list. You mentioned before, next time it'll be number 25 for him. It's just crazy. And, again, has never fought, I think, really fought a top contender. So, interesting guy.
You know, like on those old, like, 90s sitcoms, like Full House used to do it sometimes. Like, the kids would have, like, the angel on one side and, like, the devil on the other side. I feel like there's, like, a person, okay? There's a person out there. He's, like, tough and he just does all these things. On one shoulder, it's, like, Diego Sanchez. It's, like, the evil, like, grumpy one, and then on the other side it's Alex Caceres, who's like smiling, and it's like similar traits, but one's just like, you can do it, buddy, you can do it, and then the other one's just like, yes, yes, yes. They're just, it's, it both were on The Ultimate Fighter, it both like live the same kind of a lifestyle, but just have different views completely on what this lifestyle actually means. It's hilarious.
Diego the Devil and Alex the Angel.
Yeah.
Remind me to put that in my tweet when we tweet out the show.
Check the tapes, bro.
Check the tapes, bro. So I'm planning to DM. And by the way, I don't think I'll have a reader suggestion of the week this week because I don't know. Nothing. Again, and guys, look, I get it. This was a weird card. Again, 9 fights, 1 draw. So really only eight matchups with a definitive result to pick from. So nothing, no crazy matches really jumped out at me. But I'll read these guys out real quick. Ryan Doherty, who we haven't heard from a month. Ryan Doherty, welcome back. I don't know why I hadn't thought of this. He says, and I'm like, I don't know how you feel about this. Silva and De La Rosa, just run it back?
I mean, yeah, sure.
Is it worth running back?
Yeah, I mean, at this point.
I would almost book Silva as if she won. Like, I think I feel like Silva won.
I think it's worth running maybe it back. Not. I mean, Montana looks like she might be out for a while. So it all depends on how long. I mean, her face is
pretty
bad.
Why would you say that? Is it the massive swelling over her left eye where she clearly could not see about it by the time the fight was over?
Yeah. Do you remember the speech I made about Ashley Yoder after she beat Miranda Granger?
No. What did you say?
That I was just like, I think she's like still a little green, but she's talented, yeah. But like she doesn't have that like mean streak in her. Like, go check the tapes, go back and listen to that spiel after Ashley Yoder beat Miranda Granger, and then insert Montana De La Rosa's name in that same speech. Because Montana De La Rosa is tough as hell, very talented, but she needs a mean streak, man. She needs to be able to turn that switch on. And I think if she had, like, she doesn't need to get full on tornado, but just have like a little bit of edge to you. Like, have that little bit of extra gear, that sort of violent streak. If she could tap into that in any way, she'd be a really good fighter. Like, she's a really good fighter now, but she'd be much more successful. I think she's too focused on like technique and things like that. And her toughness takes her really far. But if you can find just that little bit of meanness, I think she'd be really successful. Like, I think she could be like a top 5 fighter. I think, again, the foundation is there. That layer in her game that she needs to take herself to the next level, we just haven't seen it yet.
I think I'd also like to see the defense, bone up on the defense a little bit. Like we said, she's such a BAMFer. That I think she's just like, yeah, clinch, knee me in the face. I don't care. She's like, you're not gonna knock me out. And it's like, yeah, you know, Montana, you're probably not gonna knock. She's probably not gonna knock you out, but it is gonna mess you up real good, as we saw, like I said, by the end of the fight. And again, because she has obviously no fear of getting KO'd, she kind of just walks through stuff. She kind of just trucks through it. That's great. That's not gonna, you know, that's not how you win fights in the UFC usually. Again, unless you yourself have like one punch knockout power, which of course, I don't think she does. So, yeah, I think we kind of agree. There's a mentality shift that needs to happen both in terms of aggressiveness, but also for me, I feel like that aggressiveness has to be tempered with just a little bit better protecting that neck, protect that head, because she's really good. But yeah, I'm not against the run back. I think Silva won. I'd rather see Silva move on, but you want to run that one back? I got no problem.
Yeah.
Liam Perry likes another veteran matchup, Alex Caceres versus Darren Elkins. Young Rabbi 86 coming in with a matchup that we kind of discussed on the previous show. We said maybe if he were to get a top 15 guy, maybe Edson Barbosa. But I'm still holding out hope that someone has the good sense to book Edson Barbosa and Korean Zombie. So for me, Barbosa is, in my mind, Barbosa is booked. I'm sorry. I don't care to see anyone else. I'll skip ahead here. Mitchell Rob. Stan, how do you feel Ronnie Lawrence versus Smolka?
I'm in for that. That works for me.
Yeah, not a little bit too advanced. I mean, I think I would pick Lawrence to win, but I mean, in terms of experience, that's a big gap.
That's yeah, big I gap. Think you know what I think. Huh. I think rankings, like meritocracy wise, I think Smolka and Johns are like around the same. But I feel like Smolka could be like a top 15 guy. You know what I mean? Like even higher. I think Smolka's got the ability to do that. Yeah, we always say this.
We always say this. We've been saying this for like 6 years.
I'll say nay. I'll say nay on that. I'll say nay. Okay. I don't think
that's a nay.
If Ronnie Lawrence fights Miles Johns and wins and has a performance like that, give him Smolka and I'm fine.
Michael Piragini had two picks I really liked, one with a little bit of a disclaimer. A Caceres versus Chikadze, sure. A Caceres would jump at that in a sec. Again, I assume, if anyone's wondering what we're talking about, he did say during Media Week he does not watch MMA at all. He has no idea who else in his division. He has to be vaguely familiar with some of these names. So I would hope that he would at least know Chikadze's resume and jump at that matchup. That'd be a really fun one. And he wants Ankalaev versus the Reyes-Prohashko winner. The Prohashko winner. The Reyes-Prohashko winner. But that's a bit of a long wait. That's not happening until May 1st. And then you have to, then those guys have to get a rest. So that would be a long, long, long break for Ankalaev. If you can wait that long, that's a really great matchup for him. That's a really great way to just soar right up the rankings. But more likely, Prohashko, if he won, probably gets a title shot right away. Reyes, I don't know, depend how he won. I think if he knocks up Prohashko in like the first round, sure, probably gets a title fight right away. So either way, that's a long wait and a lot of uncertainty. So I don't see it happening. But if for some reason Ankalaev does decide to wait, I don't mind that suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget about Glover Teixeira, ladies and gentlemen. He's sitting right there. Don't forget about that man. He should get the next shot after this title fight.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Let's not get it. Yes, that was also on our list, by the way, I think, of dream championship fights we want to see in 2021. Glover deserves his shot. Barry O'Reilly coming in with Lawrence versus Mirab. People, settle down.
But seriously, how good will that fight be like 2 years from now?
Someday. Amazing. I can't wait. No, I shouldn't say I can't wait. I can wait. This is the opposite of can't wait. I can absolutely wait. Guys, come on now. Jeez Louise. Munoz versus Cruz Kenny winner. That's going down next Saturday. So this Saturday, I should say. So the Cruz Kenny winner. I like that. I think Munoz obviously would love to fight Dominic Cruz. Kenny, that's a scary fight for Munoz to take if Kenny has like a dominant win over Cruz and Kenny is as advertised. That's a scary fight for Munoz. I think he would take it, though. I think he would love to take this kid's hype. So I don't mind that. And then Aronsky coming in with one of my favorite matches for Lawrence, which is Ronnie Lawrence versus Khalid Taha. So a lot of people coming in with Ronnie Lawrence matchups. He's got people talking. That's for sure. He has got people talking. And that's all you can ask for in your UFC debut, right? I wanted to read out one message in particular because it is a first long-time listener, first-time caller, Mike.
Okay.
I always like to say that. So Chris Baker, thank you for chiming in. He just says, hey, I've been listening to OTTNO for a few months now, and it's awesome. I figured I'd give my shot at it. He likes Ciryl Gane versus Blades. He likes Ankalaev versus Smith if he wins, or the loser of Reyes versus Yiddy. And Munoz, he says, should run it back as Font, which I agree, or fight. Just like you said, maybe probably won't happen because his teammate. He'd love to see a matchup with Marlon Moraes, but again, unlikely. And Caceres versus Evloev. So there you go. He likes that one too. So thank you, Chris Baker. Thank you for chiming in. And thank you, everyone, all the readers, for firing off your suggestions. Love to hear from you guys. You can reach me at Alexander K. Lee on Twitter, at Alexander. Wait, am I 1K or 2? I got to get this straight. At Alexander KK Lee on Instagram, at Alex.Lee at SBNation.com. Mike, where can they get you?
Instagram, M_HeckJR. Twitter, very easy, MikeHeck_JR. That's the go-to. So hit us up on the Twitter, especially when this thing drops. Leave your suggestions. We love just going through them, and we usually will like them or respond to them. So we appreciate that very much. But join us next week for a jam-packed assume this is going to be like a super show where we're going to be matchmaking.
Two-hour
like,
episode?
So, I don't know if it'll be that long, but it'll be a lot of matchmaking ideas, I would guess. My there's 15 fights on this card. Yes. And Casey Kenney versus Dominic Cruz is not even on the main card. That just tells you how good this freaking card is.
We're doing that one, I'll tell you. We're definitely doing that one. It's a lot of I think almost everyone who's ranked, I think we have to do. So, wow.
This is a good one. So UFC 259, of course, the three title fights. Jan Blachowicz makes his first light heavyweight title defense against the middleweight champion Israel Adesanya. Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson for the women's featherweight title. I'm going to say this now because this is going to be a little something that's going to carry on throughout the week. Don't sleep on Megan Anderson. I got one of those old-fashioned feelings.
I agree.
Don't sleep on her.
I I would not tell anyone to wager. I would say, don't bet on this one. I would say, don't wager. Well, I guess when you have an underdog this massive, I think she's plus 700. And if you have cash to spare and you like to gamble, actually, this is exactly the kind of person you would bet on. But I mean, obviously, I'm saying that the logical pick is Nunez. But just a plug, Jed and I just wrote a Great Divide talking about where we split up the names, so it's not about who we actually think is going to win. We just split up the names and made arguments for everyone. So I drew Megan Anderson, and as I was writing it, it wasn't like a crazy thing to write. I actually thought it was very reasonable. So yeah, I agree. I don't know if I can go as far as say a live dog, but if she won, would it be the most shocking thing in the world? For me, it wouldn't be.
It would be very surprising, but
I think it would be the second biggest upset after the absurd Shana Dobson Maria Agapova odds, which never should have even been that high in the first place.
I think the first round and if it gets to a fifth round, Megan Anderson is very dangerous in that fight. So stay tuned. We'll see what happens. And then, of course, the one I am looking forward to the most out of all the title fights this month, Petr Yan versus Aljamain Sterling for the Bantamweight title. Good God, what a fight that is. It's just an overall excellent card as it stands right now. And I cannot wait to break it down from a matchmaking perspective on the program. But until then, he is Alex K. Lee. He is the Prince of Positivity. I am Mike Heck. Thank you for listening. And remember, don't take this too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun, and more fun will be had next week right here on to the Next One, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.